My title tonight, From the Natural to the Supernatural. From the natural to the supernatural. From the natural, from the flesh, from that life into a life of the Spirit. Into a life of the Spirit. From the natural to the supernatural. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that you are quickened it to my heart and you continue to do so. And I pray that you would do the same tonight to the hearts of these young people, these young men and women of God that are soldiers in your army. And cause us, oh God, in the days ahead to continually plunder the camp of the devil. We just thank you for this. We bless you. Thank you for the victorious life we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The disciples were living in hostile, perilous times. Hostile, perilous times. The present society had crucified Jesus. You need to remember that. The society they're living in at the time had crucified their Lord and Savior. And so it was a hostile environment. It wasn't popular to be a follower of Jesus back then. And much like those days, it's getting less and less popular to be a Christian, even today. We are considered old-fashioned, out of touch, narrow-minded. Some have even called Christians bigots, intolerant, etc., etc., because of our moral values and our convictions, our moral values and convictions. And the disciples were not ready or equipped to face what was coming. So after his resurrection and before his ascension, before he was to return to the Father, Jesus had to bring about a course correction for their focus, their thinking, and their pursuits. He had to bring a course correction. It's like a ship who is going in one direction, and all of a sudden the rudder is turned so that ship can begin to make a course correction to the right place. So sometimes it just may take a turning of the rudder 1 degree so that ship can begin to turn into the direction it needs to be in. As followers of Jesus, God's called us to follow him into all things as he leads us. And the followers of Jesus back in that day had certain expectations concerning the Messiah, just like you and I. We have certain expectations concerning Christ. When you come to church, you have certain expectations. You expect to experience, to see certain things, to hear certain things. These disciples, these followers of Christ had certain expectations concerning the Messiah. I think of two men on the road to Emmaus. They were expecting things to happen a certain way, and when they didn't, they were sad, they were disappointed, and confused. The disciples were expecting him, his own disciples were expecting him to overthrow the current Roman regime so that they could rule and reign with him in this life. And I emphasize this life. When you read the four Gospels, you can see that they were concerned about what would be their positions and their privileges in this new kingdom on earth. They even argued about who among them was the greatest and who would sit on his right hand and on his left. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, you see that the disciples wanted to know if Jesus had come to restore the kingdom to Israel at this particular time. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And restore our kingdoms. And so we can see that they had certain expectations concerning the Messiah. They perceived and were looking at the kingdom of God with human reasoning. The disciples were hoping to prosper and be comfortable in this world. But Jesus, his kingdom was not of this world. His kingdom wasn't of this world. What is considered valuable in the kingdom of God doesn't necessarily correspond or line up with what is considered valuable in this life and in this world. Didn't the Lord say in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. The disciples were looking at things from a natural viewpoint. Another example of this is found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 23. The scriptures tell us Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. Hallelujah. But Peter, notice this, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him. Peter takes God aside. Think about that. And begins to rebuke him and reprimand him and correct him. He begins to correct Jesus. He tries to correct Jesus. And he says to him, heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me, for you are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. Not from God's. Folks, there is a human natural point of view, and there is God's heavenly, supernatural, spiritual point of view. Are you with me tonight? It's not the same thing. Two entirely different things. Peter's focus was on man's things, which is, in essence, has to do with preserving oneself and avoiding the cross. Being comfortable and set in this life and avoiding all self-sacrifice and self-denial. Preserving self, looking out for number one, and being satisfied in myself. Folks, there ain't nothing wrong with you having a good time and you being blessed. God wants you to be blessed. He does. He blesses us with good things, nice place where you can stay, a nice car maybe you might drive, nice clothes that you have on. The Lord blesses us with good things, but it's not that our focus should be on these things. Are you with me? Even John the Baptist had expectations concerning the Messiah. And you see that when he's arrested and thrown in jail, and he sends someone to ask Jesus, are you the Christ or should we look for another? Are you the one or should we look for another? It seems like he didn't expect to be thrown into jail, to be suffering. The Bible says that in the last days, men will be lovers of self, and many would mind or be concerned about earthly things, while others would rise up whose God is their belly. What does that mean? Whose focus is on themselves and satisfying the passions and lusts and the desires of their own appetites. All they're concerned is about themselves, how they feel and how they're doing and that everything is well with them. The Apostle Peter wrote in his epistle to remind the believers that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth, following their own desires. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. So many today have certain expectations concerning the kingdom of God. In one camp, you have many that expect to escape hardship and difficulties and look for the path of least resistance, not realizing that trials lead to maturity, strength of character, and a greater dependency on God to help you endure and be all that he's called you to be. There's another camp where others believe in a Christ that is supposed to pamper you and make you feel good. They expect God to cater to their whims and desires. They believe God is supposed to fulfill their dreams and their plans. And they want a God who will follow their ideas and do things their way. Today, self-serving and self-preservation are prevalent in the Christian church. Thus, the prosperity gospel and the feel-good gospel, etc., etc. But then there's another camp. There are those who truly want to walk with the God of the Bible. but who expect and try to live this Christian life by leaning on their own strength, their own understanding, their own reasoning, their own ways. And as a result, there's so little spiritual fruit in their lives. I think of when I was a student in college and I met a Muslim student and I began to share the gospel with him, and we were having this exchange in the hallway and we were talking and going back and forth, and I was sharing, you know, I had all these ideas and thoughts and illustrations and word pictures and stuff I was shooting at him, and I felt like I was doing good, and I was like, man, you know, sometimes when you're talking with somebody and all of a sudden you just, stuff is flowing and you're like, man, that's good stuff. Wow. Man, that is awesome. Where did that come from, you know? And I'm thinking, man, this is awesome. This is just flowing, and I'm sharing, and you know, I think of Paul who said, we came not to you with man's wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That wasn't me. I was full of man's wisdom. I was full of man's power and strength, you know, in my own ingenuity, trying to convert this guy. And he's just looking at me. And finally, in the end, you know, he looks at me and he goes, you know, you'd make a good Muslim. And I thought, this ain't what I was expecting. This isn't the way it was supposed to go. You know, I'm thinking he's gonna say, you know, can I pray with you? You know, can you pray with me? You know, I need Jesus. You know, I need this Jesus you're talking about. No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen at all, folks. Folks, you see, this is a spiritual, supernatural kingdom. And it can only be advanced and sustained through supernatural means. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible tells us that Jesus began to speak to his disciples. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. He begins to speak to his disciples, explaining to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says that Jesus took them through the scriptures concerning himself. Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Concerning himself. And later on, with these same men, they began to speak to each other, saying, didn't our hearts burn within us? As he talked with us on the road, he's talking with them and explained the scriptures to us, they said. Later on in the same chapter, when he's now with his disciples, in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, the Bible says that he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He opened their understanding, their minds, to understand the scriptures. They're in one place, seeing things in the natural, from a natural standpoint, from an earthly standpoint, in the flesh. And he's wanting them to be over here, to begin to understand things through the eyes of heaven, from heaven's perspective, through the Holy Spirit, by revelation, to understand the kingdom, to understand the way it works, the way it operates, so that they could stand and be all that he's called them to be and destined them to be. Are you with me tonight? Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him turn from his selfish ways. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. That's Matthew 16, 24. The Bible says that we are crucified with Christ. In other words, when Christ died, I died with him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. In Christianity, young people, you have the work that Christ accomplished, finished at the cross, right? We are crucified with Christ. It's been done. But then there is the continual work of the Holy Spirit that is taking place in the life of the believer on a daily basis. It is where we, through the Spirit, are mortifying, in other words, putting to death the deeds of the flesh. That work is accomplished as I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. That work is accomplished as I live by faith, as I cling to Christ, as I rely on him, as I trust him, as I surrender to him, as I yield everything to him, as I put all my eggs in one basket in Christ alone. As I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Do you know he loves you tonight? I said, do you know he loves you tonight? And gave himself for me. He gave himself for you. Do you know he not only loves you, but he's for you. He's for you. He's on your side. He's not against you. Folks, that's reason to shout alone. The fact that he is on our side, that we're rolling with Jesus, that he chooses to come and hang out with us every Friday night and every Sunday when we gather for our connect groups. He comes and he breaks bread with us. He begins to open the scriptures to us. Hallelujah. This work is accomplished as I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, acknowledging him in all our ways, and he directs our paths. He will take you where you could never go, make you what you could never be, and enable you to do what you could never do in your own strength. Hallelujah. It's a life where the government is on his shoulders. It is a life where he is allowed to be our wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to give my life as a ransom for many. And in the same way, if we are followers of Jesus, then there has to be a shift in our focus to serving and giving ourselves, living our lives for the benefit of others, to minister to others. There has to be a shift, folks. Jesus also said, he that seeks to save his life, in other words, the lower life, the natural life, the earthly life, this life, will lose it. Will lose what? Will lose that life that he promised, that he gives. It's that higher life, that heavenly life, that supernatural life. But he that loses his life, in other words, he that yields and that lower life, that natural earthly life, for my sake will find it, will find that heavenly life, the higher life, the spiritual life, that supernatural life that God has purposed for you and I. Hallelujah. The sure way to an empty life is to reject him and his ways. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. Your soul is more valuable than this temporal world, my friend. It is foolish to exchange the eternal for that which will soon be gone. The Lord promises to be with us every step of the way as we make the choice to go from the natural life into the supernatural life. From seeing things from a human point of view and analyzing things and having to figure things out and trying to work things out in our own strength to depending totally on him, to asking him to lead and guide us by his Spirit, to empowering us and to making us into vessels fit for the master's use. I think of Nebuchadnezzar in his day and the children of Israel that lived in Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember the story, Daniel. The Bible tells us that Nebuchadnezzar set up a statue. And you can be sure that some of the Israelites bowed. You know, our government today, in this hour, is making all kinds of decisions, legislating all kinds of decisions. And they're expecting you and I and everyone else to kowtow, to bow to these decisions and to agree with every decision. Nebuchadnezzar set up this statue and he said, you're going to bow or you're going to burn. He threatened the children of Israel, and many of them did bow. But for the three Hebrew boys that didn't, they became a testimony in their generation. And folks, the fire is being turned up, and it's going to be turned up even hotter in the days ahead. And you and I are going to have to make a choice. We're going to have to make a choice. Who's on the Lord's side? But I thank God. He promises to be with us every step of the way. Would you give him a hand clap offering tonight? The Lord was with them in the laying down of their lives for the glory of God. They weren't living for themselves, but for the glory of God. And guess what? Those around them saw the fourth man in the fire. Come on, somebody. They saw Jesus in the midst, folks. They saw God among his people. Do you know when you, by faith, put all your eggs in one basket and you say, God, I'm trusting in you and you alone. I'm not trusting in my own strength to get me through. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm trusting you and you alone. I'm asking you to guide me, take me where I could never go, make me what I could never be, help me to be what I could never be in my own strength, enable me to do what I could never do. Some of you are thinking, man, how do these young people go on the street and witness to people and tell people about Jesus? I'm so shy. I'm an introvert, Pastor. I can't do that. Yeah, maybe in your own strength you can't do it, but with God, all things are possible. I said, with God, all things are possible, folks. All things are possible. They saw God among his people. The Lord promised to be with us every step of the way. You know, even Jesus didn't carry his own cross alone. You and I need a power other than ourselves to help us as well. The Holy Spirit has come to help us. When the Holy Spirit came, he was and is the game changer. He made the difference and enabled the disciples to lay down their lives for the cause of Christ, to be witnesses. Do you know that same word for witnesses is the word martyr? I don't know if you knew that. The same word for witness is martyr. Same word. To be a martyr, to be a witness. He caused their lives to be fruitful and successful for the kingdom of God. Others may try to convince you to compromise. Hear me tonight. Others may try to convince you to compromise in the days ahead, to take the easy route. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on, man. You guys don't have to be so intense. Why you gotta be so intense? Why you going to Times Square Church? They intense. They pray, they worship, they pray, they read the Bible, they pray, they shake hands, they pray. They go out on the street and talk to people about Jesus, and then they pray again. They have all-night prayer meetings. Why are you so intense? You don't have to be so intense. Take it easy. Relax. Chill. You know, you can drink a little bit. You can party a little bit. It's all right. ain't nothing wrong with you watching R-rated and, you know, and maybe even X-rated stuff. It's okay. You know, God understands. Paul was ready not only to suffer for Christ's namesake, but to die also. The believers around him tried to get him to avoid suffering, but he wouldn't. The Pharisees told Jesus, come down from the cross. But he didn't. That's why you and I are here today. How does Jesus respond to their wrong focus? How does Jesus respond to his disciples' wrong focus? The disciples were off track, but the Lord doesn't yell at them. He just keeps pointing them to a life in the Spirit, a supernatural life, a life that lines up with Scripture and the purposes of God. Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 4. Once he was eating with them, and he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The ascension of Jesus. Oh, that's a title there. Okay. So when the, I'm thinking, man, that's random. Verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and to restore our kingdom?" Verse 7. He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." What is he doing? He's saying, listen, don't focus on that. He's saying, that's none of your business. Don't be concerned about that stuff. Don't be concerned about earthly things. Don't be concerned about establishing a kingdom and being comfortable and pampered in this life. Yes, you're blessed and you get blessed. And if you got a good paying job, enjoy things, pay your tithes, but enjoy things, you know, and bless brothers and sisters, give to the poor. You know, pay your tithe, give to the poor, bless brothers and sisters, sponsor brothers and sisters on retreats, missions trips, give to God, amen. You know, but don't focus on these things. Don't be concerned about this stuff. That's what he's doing there. He's bringing a course correction. He's turning their focus from the natural to the spiritual. From getting comfortable in this life and setting up a little, you know, a little nest for yourself and being absorbed with that. This earthly life, which doesn't satisfy, folks. He says, that is not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, my martyrs, telling people about me everywhere. Everywhere you're going to tell people. In Jerusalem, which means at home you're going to be a witness. Throughout Judea, in your community. In Samaria, among those that have mixture in their lives, compromise in their lives, you're going to be a testimony among them. And to the ends of the earth, to the Gentiles, wherever I send you, to France, to Taiwan, to the boogie down Bronx, to Best I Do or Die Brooklyn, wherever I send you, you're going to be a witness. Hallelujah. Course correction. I think of Elijah, the prophet, as he's walking in his latter days and he's got young Elisha with him. And three times he says to Elisha, he says, stay here. He says, stay here, Elisha. But Elisha says, nah, I ain't staying here. Nah, man. I'm going with God. See, Elijah represented the word of God. He was the man of God, the voice of God. In other words, the presence of God. I'm going with God. He said, I'm not staying here. So three times he said, no, I'm not staying in this place. I'm going with God. Folks, you can stay where you are, but the Lord is saying, no, there's an abundant, fruitful life. Don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Don't do that. You're not going to enjoy either one. You can't serve two masters. He said, if you're going to do that, you're going to enjoy this Christian walk, you got to go all the way. You got to be all in. All in. Life in the Spirit is an exciting life, folks. It's a supernatural life. It's a fruitful life. You don't know what to expect when you're following Jesus. Life becomes an adventure. It's never boring. You constantly have new testimonies of what God just did this past week. Let me tell you what the Lord did this past week. Constantly have new testimonies. I think of Isaiah, speaking of the Messiah, who said he would be satisfied after his sacrificial death. He would be satisfied seeing what would be accomplished through his sacrificial death. You know, there's a true satisfaction that comes in serving and helping others. Serving and helping others. What does a life in the Spirit look like, briefly? Acts chapter 2. What does life in the Spirit look like? The Bible says, when each of the disciples, when they were filled, verse 4, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. God gave them this ability to speak in other languages. In verse 11, it tells us that the people from all over, Jews from all over were gathered in Jerusalem, and the people heard them speaking. What were these disciples speaking about? They were speaking about the wonderful things God had done, testifying of what God had done in their lives, what they had seen Jesus do. Folks, it's as simple as you saying to someone, look, let me tell you what the Lord did for me. People can argue, they may want to argue with you, doctrine, argue with you, you know, all kinds of stuff. But no one can argue with you concerning your personal experience, your personal testimony. It's like the man, they said, you know, listen, we know Jesus is a sinner. Give glory to God. The blind man said, listen, I don't know anything. Except that I was once blind, and now I can see. Verse 12 says, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Others in the crowd ridicule them. So there'll be folks that'll laugh at you and mock at you and think you're crazy and nuts and all that. That's all right. That's all right. But the Lord is with you. And when you're walking in the Spirit, folks, God gives you a message. He begins to fill your mouth. He begins to fill your mouth. I think of Diana's testimony tonight. Thinking to herself, what am I doing on this trip? How can God use me? And then all of a sudden, she just steps up there in faith. Bam, bam, and God begins to fill her mouth as she starts opening her mouth. And the Lord said, he said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. That's what the scripture says. So she steps out in faith. Okay, Lord, here I go. I'm jumping. I'm jumping into your arms. I'm trusting you to catch me. And all of a sudden, man, God fills her mouth as she starts ministering and people are being blessed as a result. These guys open their mouths, and God begins to speak to them. It's amazing. I think of verse 22, as Peter opens his mouth and begins to speak. People of Israel, listen. Look at the boldness. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles and wonders and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and this was prearranged, planned, and carried out when Jesus was betrayed with the help of lawless Gentiles. You nailed him to the cross. You killed him. Look at the boldness. First they run and they're scattered and they're hiding, and now the Holy Spirit has come. They're not leaning on their own strength. God has come, filled them, and now with boldness they're standing. Verse 24, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for dead could not keep him in its grip. Hallelujah. Powerful preaching. I love this. Verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Look at that. This is what life in the Spirit looks like. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. This is us meeting together in one place. Amen. This is the book of Acts right here happening all over again. They sold their property and possessions, shared the money with those in need. So they were helping each other out, helping those in need. Verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Hallelujah. Those who were being saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What type of fruit was produced in their lives? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But when the Holy Spirit controls your life, this is the type of fruit that will be produced. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. 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 Let's say that together. Self-control. There is no law against these things. When the Holy Spirit controls your life, this is the end result. Folks, I think of a testimony of a young girl that was shared recently here. Powerful testimony. Let me read it to you. She says this: I grew up in a non-Christian home. She was an atheist. Some of you will remember her testimony. She battled eating disorders, depression, suicidal thoughts for 5 years. She tried drinking, partying, and boys to fill the void in her heart. She began to see a psychiatrist and started taking sleeping pills and antidepressants, thinking these would help her. She was introduced to the occult, the New Age, and she began to read books about the spiritual world, and she began to have sleeping problems. She was afraid to go to sleep because she would see shadows and feel these shadows coming on her in the night and paralyzing her body so that she couldn't move. She was so afraid. She was afraid to go to sleep at night. She felt like these spirits wanted to kill her. She eventually told a Christian friend, though, about what she was experiencing. And as a result, praise God, her friend told her about God. And she attended a small gathering of Christians where they shared the gospel with her. They told her about Jesus, forgiveness of sins, and salvation. She accepted Christ that day in hopes that the nightmares would stop. She just wanted to have peace and wanted those shadows to stop coming into her rooms. But what she didn't realize was that everything else she was battling would change as well. What she tried to set herself free from years, God did in one day. What years of antidepressants, sleeping pills, therapy, counseling could not do, God did in an instant, folks. Folks, that is supernatural. That is life in the Spirit. This generation needs a supernatural move of God. I said, this generation needs a supernatural move of God. And guess what? You and I are called to be ambassadors and agents of that move of God. Ambassadors of that move of God. Last scripture I want to share with you tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 21. It says, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Jesus died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Listen to this verse, key verse. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. That we should no longer live for ourselves, but that we should live for Christ. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought Christ merely from a human point of view. We thought of Christ from merely a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Verse 18. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made with, right with God through Christ. Would you give him a hand clap offering tonight? Bow your heads with me. Lord, I've shared with these young people, these young adults, what you've placed on my heart, these men and women. Thank you for each one. Thank you for the call that's on each of their lives. I thank you that the best is yet to come as we yield to you and all that you have for us. Tonight, I want to give an invitation. Many have come with an expectation to the kingdom of God. Many have come even tonight. There are those who came to Christ expecting to escape hardship and difficulties, only to find that you can't. Trials lead to maturity and strength of character, as we shared earlier. And maybe you say, Pastor, I need God's help to go on. I need God's help to endure. I don't want to lean on my own strength anymore. I need supernatural empowerment. If that's you, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to get out of your seat and to come to the front here. We're going to pray tonight and believe God together. There are others who have been self-serving. And if you were to admit it tonight, you only think about yourself. You've tried to impose your own plans and ideas into the kingdom of God, and now you know it's wrong. And you say, Pastor, I need prayer tonight. Would you pray for me? I'm going to invite you in a moment as well to get out of your seat and to come to the front. And then there are those who truly want to walk with God, but you've tried to live this Christian life leaning on your own strength, your own understanding. And as a result, there's so little spiritual fruit. Would you come as well? Give the Holy Spirit complete control and watch what he'll do. Watch what he'll do. Tonight, would you stand with me quietly and reverently? Quietly and reverently tonight. If you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to go from the natural to the supernatural. I want to go from the flesh to life in the spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit like I've never walked before. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I want to invite you. Join me here at the altar, because I'm at the altar first, folks. This message was for me, and I know God has spoken to hearts tonight. We're going to worship together, and then we're going to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, God, we ask for the courage, God, to say yes, God. Lord, we hear you speaking to our hearts, asking, will you live for my glory and my glory alone, God? Lord, we want to say yes, oh God. We ask for strength, God. Lord, we ask for wisdom, God. We ask, God, for the grace to follow you, God, all the days of our lives, oh God. Lord, give us hearts that long to see your glory, God. Come into our lives, come into our families, God. Come into this nation, God. Come into this city, oh God. Give us boldness, oh God. Lord, to share the gospel, oh God, of Jesus Christ, oh God. In whatever capacity you would have us do it, oh God. Lord Jesus, make us witnesses, oh God. Make us, Lord God, everything you've destined us to be, God. We were created for your glory and for your glory alone, oh God. And Lord, until you bring us to that place, oh God, we'll never be satisfied, oh God. Help us not to live for ourselves, oh God. It's the greatest lie that the devil has fed us, oh God. Help us to live for you, God. Help us to know in you and in you alone, God, is our everything we need, oh God. Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We open our hearts to you, God. Lord, we say, God, let these words that we sing to you be more than a song, God. Lord, take us at our word, oh God. Lord, we say yes to your will, God. We say yes, knowing, God, that it very, very well may cost us, God. But we say yes, God, because we believe that you are worthy, God. We do believe in what took place on the cross, oh God. And Lord, we know what you've done in our life, oh God. And we say, yes, God, it's worth it. God, it's worth living for you, God. On the good days and the bad days, it's worth living for you, God. We want to stand for you, God. So, Lord, we thank you, God. We praise you, God. Teach us what it means to walk in the Spirit. Teach us about this deeper life, God, deeper than what this world tells us, God. Jesus, we love you. And we thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Father God, we're just gonna come here to your presence, Lord God, knowing that you have everything under control, Jesus. That our hearts, Lord Jesus, are for you, Lord God. And we decide tonight, Father God, that our focus will be you, Father God. We hear, Father God, knowing that we're standing on the rock that is higher than us, Lord God. That we depend on you, Lord Jesus. You brought us here tonight, Lord God, because you love us, God. Because you care for us, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father God, you died more than 2,000 years ago in that cross. And your love is reaching each one of us tonight, Lord God. And here we are here, Lord God, for your grace. And by your grace we are saved. By your grace we are free. Free from sin. Free from the darkness. Hallelujah. And we have a clear view now. That you, because of you, God, we're going to keep walking. We're going to keep pushing. We're going to put our eyes on you, Lord God. Just want to thank you. Thank you for that anointing in this place tonight, Lord God. Thank you for your presence, Lord, for allowing us to feel to your presence, to just by coming into your holy place, Lord God, and knowing that you're accepting us, Lord God. Father God, thank you, Father God, for your presence, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray.
Heavenly Father, we are just in awe of your goodness and we are in awe of your power. Thank you for what you've done tonight, God. I thank you for every life that has been touched, O Lord, at the altar, on this stage, in the congregation. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, because we are leaving this place as different people and no lie of the enemy can stand. So Satan, I rebuke you, because who the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. Lord, I pray that we'll walk in your freedom. God, I ask that we'll walk in your liberty. I pray, Father King of Glory, that every burden will be cast down tonight, oh God. I pray that you give us boldness to be a light, oh Lord. There is so much darkness around us. Help us to be a light in this crooked and perverse generation. Help us to stand boldly and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. That when they raise up flags of immorality, when they raise up flags of sin, Lord, I pray that you give us the grace to raise up the banner of righteousness, the banner of Jehovah Nissi, that wherever the soles of our feet tread upon, Lord, that we'll possess for your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to be bold as lions, oh Lord, because we serve the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who loved us and gave himself for us, oh God. I ask, oh Lord, that as we come closer to your second coming, oh God, that this will be a generation who knows their God and are strong and does exploits. I pray for an anointing to speak the gospel in boldness, to stand for Christ, to not be living in compromise with one leg in the church and the other leg in the world. Lord, I ask that you help us, that we will come out of this whatever spiritual laziness it is that we're going through, and that we'll be serious to pray, to evangelize, to tell others that you are coming soon and that you are coming for a church that has no spot or wrinkle. Lord, give us the grace. Give us the grace, oh God. For those that think that they can't do it, oh Lord, I thank you, because it's not by power nor by mind, but it's by your spirit, oh God. You are the God who makes the introverts bold. You made Peter, who denied you, to preach the gospel. But I ask for boldness. I pray, oh Lord God, Almighty King of Glory, that you touch every one of us, for of every age, from the young to the old, oh God. Everyone in this house, touch us, oh Lord, and give us the unction of your Holy Spirit. Help us to glorify your name, to lift you up. In this generation that has chosen sin, Lord, help us to choose righteousness. Help us to stand for your glory and to stand for your truth, God, and to stand for what your word has said. And I thank you, Lord, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, when you are born again, when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you're born of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit, but then as you begin to walk with God, there's a life in the Spirit that you begin to experience and you begin to grow in, and you become more and more sensitive to if you will allow God to speak to you. The Bible says, Jesus said quite often, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And so the Spirit is wanting to speak to us on different levels and take us to places, but we have to be able to hear that. And so I want to encourage you tonight, and join me in lifting your hands to God and saying, God, would you give me an ear to hear? And it's not just listening with the ear, folks. Hearing implies obeying. And so would you pray with me tonight and lift your hands to God and say, God, give me an ear to hear so that I would obey you, so that I would follow you, so that I would not limit you, God, so that I would serve you all my days. And then when everything is said and done, I could hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you trusted me, because you believed in me. Father, tonight we give ourselves away, oh God. We yield ourselves to you completely, totally. We surrender all that we are to you. And Holy Spirit, we do invite you to take complete control. Take us to another level. Take us, oh God, where we could never go in our own strength. God, we understand that this is a supernatural kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, and it can only be birthed, maintained, sustained, advanced through supernatural means. And so do what you do, God. Be glorified in and through our lives. Lord, and we ask that, Lord, the kingdom of darkness would be plundered in the days ahead. Lord, as we go forth from this house, Lord, opening our mouths and believing you and trusting you to fill it. Father, we thank you and we bless you in advance. Give us eyes to see, Lord, from heaven's perspective. Help us to know that those that be with us are greater than those that be with them. Amen. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We thank you for the victory of the cross, and we rejoice in that victory tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's give them a shout of praise.